Well, a very warm welcome to you all. Let me just add a very special welcome to each one of you that have come tonight, especially those that are visitors, those who we don't normally see. We really appreciate your presence with us. Tonight is the preaching of the gospel, and if you're not sure what that means, it simply means the good news. The good news of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the gospel is to teach you, to show you how it is possible for a person to be saved and to be sure that they can have life after the grave, because we must all die. We will all die and we will all face eternity. And the gospel message is really to proclaim very simply how you can be sure of salvation and know with a surety that you will be with God for eternity, because when life is over, it is really over. This life is just a short life. It is a very brief life. And eternity that we await, the eternity that will last a long time, eternity, is one that we trust that you will understand and take very seriously this night, because the decision that you make tonight has eternal consequences. You might make a decision tomorrow and it will affect a few people in a few days' time, and then it's all forgotten about. The decision that we appeal to you tonight with is a decision that you must make, a decision that will have eternal consequences. Now, before we open the scriptures, the Bible, we will just ask the Lord in prayer to bless our time together. And so we'll just ask his face upon us. Our God and our Father, we bow very humbly and very quietly in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we draw near in that lovely name, the name which is above every name, and it is certainly the name that we acknowledge is the only Saviour, the name of the only Saviour for sinners. And tonight we simply ask that as the Bible is read, and that we read from it and we understand its text, that it will become a very personal reading to us. And we pray, O God, that if there is someone here who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may do so before it is too late. We ask thy blessing upon us. Grant us the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we've mentioned, it is good news. That's really what the gospel means. The word gospel is nothing fancy or special. It just literally means the good news. Now, as I've said those two words, good news, have a think about the news that you've been reading in the last week. The news that you've perhaps read over the last fortnight, the last year, the last 10 years, however long you've been reading the news for, have you found good news? We are living in a very advanced age, the most advanced age of technology that we have ever experienced, and it seems to be getting greater and greater and greater. They're talking about putting man not just on the moon, but beyond that, and rovers to Mars. Incredible. We just take that for granted. A Hubble Space Telescope takes photographs. We download it from a NASA website and we put it on our desktop. This was unthinkable 100 years ago. Unthinkable. And yet with all the technology, all the advancement, all of the revolutionary changes that we are seeing, you would have to agree with me, the world is in a moral mess. Tensions between major superpowers across the globe, fighting for supremacy. The threat of a World War III is looming upon us any day now. Hostile arguments over trade, shipping routes, taxes upon imports, tariffs, violence at a global scale, people being massacred, threats to peace, safety and security. We think we are in a land of plenty and nothing could ever happen to us. Don't think for one moment we are immune to invasion, to attack. We have the development of the most highly advanced weapons designed to not only isolate but destroy people. This is the world we live in. Unending civil wars, bombings, shootings, stabbings. Gone are the days where graffiti was a bad crime. nationally. You think about what happens in Australia. Forget about, just for a moment, if you will, what's happening across the globe. Nationally. Tensions in federal government. Hostile arguments in parliament over what's going to happen between states. Political leaders facing fierce opposition from the community. Backstabbing like you've not seen it before, but we see it every day. We just take it for granted. Riots and protests over government decisions. Corruption, fraud in government. The police force. Drug busts that we don't know about, where the drugs are not confiscated but handed over to other people to use. Locally, not now just nationally, but locally, in a state, in a city of Brisbane. Theft, vandalism, domestic violence, day after day after day after day. We sit in ease and air conditioning and comfort and clothing, and yet all around us, tonight, this very night, there'll be at least one house in this street experiencing domestic violence. It's everywhere. Sexual misconduct, abduction, immorality is just a common word now. Mental health issues resulting in depression, anxiety. It is everywhere. Teenage rebellion, drunkenness, drug abuse, suicide. It's just normal. Every day, you walk down the street, the mall, just walk down the street, and you will see on the faces of most people etched tensions, worry, fear, depression, burdens that people are carrying. People don't walk around with a smile on their face anymore. How are you doing? The world, let's be honest, the world internationally, nationally, locally, in your neighbourhood, the world is in a moral mess. And you might have an iPhone in your pocket and think everything's fine. Every day, there is confusion and bewilderment. Is there an answer to my problems? A sense of hopelessness and instability wreaks every household. Is there any answer? Is there hope? What can we possibly do? We all have sorrows that need to be healed. Every one of us has a burden that needs to be lifted. All of us have sins that need to be forgiven. We have griefs. We have a conscience that speaks very, very clearly to the fact that we have failed. When you go to bed at night time, do you listen to your own conscience, if you're honest with yourself? Do you hear hypocrisy? You know that you're not who you ought to be. I certainly do. And as I look in your faces, I know that you're made of the same stuff that I am. And you know as well as I do. We have failed. The standard that we ought to live by and that we expect from others who live in our neighbourhood. What about the longings of your heart? Do you listen to the cry of a wanting for some more? A cry for a release of your own personal problems? It's not fair, I want more. I'm not satisfied with the things that I have in my pantry, in my garage, in my house. I want more. Are you longing for something more? Are you just not satisfied with life? All of these symptoms that I'm just describing are not just fictitious movie stories. This is life. Let's be honest. We live in a world that is marked by sinful behavior and sinful conditions. I'm not making this stuff up, and you know it. You see, the world is full of people who are sinners like you and I. We are marked by sin and we are plagued by sin. And when we turn to the world and we look around about us and we see, look, there's a problem out there, how quick are we to say, it's not my problem. I'm okay. But yet you know as well as I do, it's not okay in here. We have all got that sinful condition. And if we're honest with ourselves, you will agree with me, we are the problem. We are the cause of wars. We are the cause of bullying in the schoolyards, the fighting in the neighbourhoods, the fighting in Parliament and across the globe. We see all of this wars. They're just a bigger fight in the schoolyard at a grand scale. Is there a solution? I want you to turn with me to the Bible for God's solution. The solution to the problems that you and I are looking for. I want you to turn with me to the first book in the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll read as carefully and as slowly as we can. But we want you to hear God's voice for the moment. You're listening to me speak, but as I read these words, I want you to understand that we are reading from the Word of God. A God who is eternal, a God who spoke and who has handed down to us His Word, His mind, His will for mankind. So Matthew, and the first chapter, and verse 21 reads, this is the angel speaking to Joseph in a dream about one who is about to be born in Bethlehem to his wife, Mary. And the angel says to Joseph, in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Turn forward now to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, it's almost at the very end of the book, so the record that we're reading, we've just read the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his name, and now we're going to read what happened to him at the end of his life on earth. Verse 33 of Matthew 27 reads, and when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, or distributed his clothing, casting lots, gambling for it, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The name given to him at his birth, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name on the cross upon which he was hung, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. I want you to now turn forward with me to some other readings in the Bible. We're going to read now from Romans chapter 3. Again, if you're not familiar with the Bible, just listen very carefully. I'll read as slowly and carefully as I can. Romans chapter 3. And verse 23 reads, this is God's judgment, this is not man's opinion. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Further forward now to Romans chapter 6 and also verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now over to the next book, which is 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, now the writer of this letter is writing to Christians, and he calls them by a title that God gives those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are in the family of God, brethren, brothers, sisters. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There it is, that word, good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And here is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So the gospel he preached, which they received, and having believed they were saved, is very simple. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And for our final reading, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. The last few words of verse 3 in chapter 2 is, God our Saviour. God our Saviour, who will have all mankind to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God will have all mankind to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We've just been thinking about the world's problems, and we know very well that those problems are the result of what we are. And we wanted to consider that question, well, is there an answer? Is there any hope? Many people are looking for an answer, and perhaps you're here tonight looking for that answer. Is there any hope? Is there any release from the burden and the problem that I have? Is there any way that I can get an escape from all of this difficulty? Well, we've just read a collection of verses from the Bible, selected so that you might see very clearly two words that come out in all of those verses. The word sins, or sin, and the word save. The word save. When he was about to be born, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was about to be born in Bethlehem, the name was given to him, you shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. We read of the very fact that he was upon that cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. So a man that was born, his name would be Jesus. But did you note that it was a fulfillment of what the prophet said 750 years before he was to be born? His name shall be called Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. And so when we read of those that were sitting there, as they crucified him, sitting down, they watched him there. I want you to understand that the him, the man that is there, his name is Jesus, but he's just not some ordinary man like you and I. And this is very, very important for us to understand. We have just read of the very fact that the gospel is this, very simply, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's connect all of these things together. What is all of this all about? The reason that we have all the problems in the world is because we are the problem. We are sinners, and we have an insidious disease called sin. It's a disease that we all have. It's what marks us as failures. It's what brings about failure in our own life. You know as well as I do, when you have a disease, there are symptoms associated with that disease. You get a cold, then starts the runny nose. Well, it's no different. Sin is that disease that we are all plagued with. And the symptoms of that disease are sexual immorality. It's violence. It's losing a temper. It's greed. It's lust. It's hatred. It's going against others with war and contempt. It's all of the things that we see symptomatic of the sinful condition that we all have in the world. Now, you may not be a bad person. in your own eyes. You may never have murdered. You may never have said an evil word about someone else verbally. But you know your own heart as well as I do, that there is something wrong and there is a guilty conscience that you have. And deeply rooted within that heart of yours will be the knowledge of sin. You know that you have fallen short of the perfect righteous standard. Have you never made a mistake? Have you never had an evil thought? Have you never once thought of God continually in your life? Or is your life marked by how you will please your life? All of these things describe very carefully for us that we are the sinners. We are the sinful, we are the problem, and it's because of the sinful condition that we have. Moreover, we will die. We will all face death. There is coming a day when you will leave this life. You were born into this life, thanks be to God for that, but you are going to one day leave this life. You are not eternal. You do not have the control over your own life. You had no control over your birth, and you certainly don't have a control over the day that you will leave this world. Why? We read very carefully. The wages of sin is death. The result, the net payment, the due reward of the sinful condition that we have, the wages of sin is death. We die because we are sinners. The sinful condition that we all have is a disease that has its ultimate end in death. And that is the inevitable end of human flesh. We die. And we are dying. Has God made a mistake? How can God be so loving and so gracious and so kind if he's allowed all of this turmoil and he has allowed us to die? Why for one moment would you ever think to blame God? Really? It's not God's fault. God, when God created the world, he created a perfect world. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He created a world in which there was just perfect harmony. There was bliss. And he put into this world a man, innocent and who had not sinned. And God gave him a single command. A very, very simple command. You can have everything that I have made for you, Adam, but there is a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day that you eat of that fruit, of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, will be the day that you will die. Literally, dying you shall die. And the story goes that the serpent, who is Satan, he came to Eve, his wife, and deceived her and said, "Did God really say that you would die? You'll not surely die. And the day that you eat it, you will be like God." And he twisted the word of God, and he's doing it this very day. Surely there must be another way. We don't need the Bible. There must be another way. And he's doing it right now. If you were thinking that this is just not something to believe in, he's deceiving you. This is God's word, and he's speaking to you very personally. And I want you to understand, God cannot lie. Satan is the father of lies. Now, I've just quoted two texts of the Word of God. God cannot lie. And God is giving you the truth. And into that body, into that sinless body at the time, came the germ of sin. For as by one man, says the Bible, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Adam died. God said, "The day that you eat thereof, you will die. Dying, you will die." He didn't die physically straight away. He eventually died, but spiritually. He was cut off, separated from God. Spiritually cut off. And that spiritual death is what we are all born into. And we are all plagued with the same problem, because as Adam died, we all died. In the day that he entered, or rather the day that he took of that fruit, he died spiritually, cut off from God, and eventually he died physically. And by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all inherited it from our parents. And our parents inherited it from their parents. We are all sinners by nature, by practice, by thinking, by heart, and by will. Every part of us, every part of our being is plagued with sin. Our thought life is plagued by sin. Our heart and emotional aspect of our being is marred by sin. We have emotions that control us. Emotions that run wild, that do the wrong thing. And we go places. We are rebellious in the will. We do not want to be told what to do. Why is it that a parent struggles so much with a child to teach it what to do good? You have no difficulty. You never have to tell a child to do wrong. It's in the nature. Don't dodge it. Accept it. God is calling you to believe His word. We are all sinners. And we are the cause of the problems that we see in the world. And so the next question we want to arrive at, well, if God is not the problem, why do we see all these problems? We are the problem. We are the problem. God has given us a very clear instruction and given us a standard of life to live, but we are not able to live that life. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We are the sinners. And so is there a solution to this problem of sin? We're going to die because of sin? All the problems in the world is because of sin? I'm a sinner, there's no hope. What? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And they crucified him. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read there very carefully, very clearly. The gospel that was preached unto you, which you received, and which you believed, and by which you are saved, and in which you stand. How that? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He died for our sins. Now, what does that mean? Well, we see the wages of sin is death. Death is the penalty for sin. We die because of sin, physically. But the eternal judgment, the eternal penalty for sin is the lake of fire. And the Bible calls it the second death. And that is eternal separation from God spiritually for all eternity. We are separated from God spiritually. We cannot see Him. And our minds are just fogged with the problem of sin. We cannot see Him. We are separated from God. But God wants us to be saved from the penalty of our sin and bring us near to Himself. And He has dealt with the great problem, the great penalty for sin. He died. He stood in our place. He bore the penalty which was required for sinners and for sin. He died for me and for you. Christ died for, on behalf of us, for our sins according to the scriptures. So firstly, he died for us for the problem of sin, the sin, the death that sin brings to us. He entered into death. He became subject to death. And he voluntarily died and gave up his life. That's number one. But number two, every sin that we commit has a penalty. I want you to understand that. Every sin that we commit, we may forget the evil word that we said to someone, the sinful thought that we thought about and harbored in our own mind, the jealousy, the lust, the envy, the hatred, the theft, the lying, the evil speak, all those things we forget about. We've got short memories. We remember other people's failures, but we forget our sins very, very easily. But God, who knows all things, God is looking upon your heart this very night. He's looking into your mind. He's looking into your soul. He knows you through and through. And every sin that we've ever committed has a judgment. It has a penalty. So when we read that Christ died for our sins, he was penalized. He was punished. The judgment for our sins was laid upon him. And that's where we read, "For Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And so, for those 3 hours on the cross, well, he was on the cross for 6 hours, but for 3 hours of darkness, God veiled the sun and there was complete darkness throughout the whole world. And God poured upon his sinless soul the wrath, the penalty, the judgment, the righteous indignation that sin deserves. He was punished for all of the sins of mankind. He died for sin. He was punished for sins. That evil disease, that penalty, that sinful condition that you and I have, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He offered himself with that spot unto God for the specific purpose that he would deal once and for all with the great problem of sin, that disease that we're all plagued with. But he was also penalized for the sins that you and I have committed. The wages of sin is death. We die because of sin, physically. But the eternal penalty, the lake of fire, there will be consequences, eternal consequences for people who reject the solution to our problem, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't preach to you a religion. We're not here telling you that you've got to be a better person tomorrow. We're not here to tell you that you have to give us money because that's going to deal with all of your problems. We can't solve your problem and you can't solve your problem. For by grace, the free gift of God, are you saved through faith. Through faith. And it's not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. And so don't try for one moment to think that you can save yourself. If you are just a good person for another week or the rest of your life, then you'll somehow get into heaven. Nobody gets into heaven because they are a good person. And bad people don't go to hell because they're bad people. You know who is in hell tonight? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. Who is in heaven tonight? Believers. Believers. People who believe, as we read from 1 Corinthians, and this was a grossly immoral town, a town that was just plagued with all sorts of idolatry and sexual immorality. It wasn't their goodness or their badness that saved them. They believed the gospel. They believed that Christ died for them, that he bore their judgment on that tree, on that cross. He was crucified for them. And God poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ the wrath of God for sin on their behalf. And they believed it. They recognized that they were sinners to the core. That there was no hope. That the only way of eternal life, the only way of eternal bliss and life beyond the grave was to believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins. And that's exactly what we're preaching to you tonight. 2,000 years later, it's the same message. It's not a distorted message. It's not a new message for the age in which we're living. It's the same message that God has been bringing to sinners throughout every generation over the last 2,000 years. You must be born again. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by your faith, by believing, and it's not the amount of your faith that's going to save you, it's just by simply receiving him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you. By believing on him, who he is. God, manifest in flesh. God with us. The creator of the universe. The ancient of days. The one who is in eternity. And who spoke and created all things that we see in this world. He is the author and the creator of life. He made you. And yet he willingly gave up his life for you. He made you, and you're lost in your sins. He wants to redeem you, to save you, to bring you back to himself. And so it's simply on the basis of faith. God will have all men to be saved, every one of you, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. But this is where we might say the rubber hits the road. Your destiny is in your hands. you must make a choice. You will walk out that door either believing, receiving the word of God, the gospel, or you will walk out that door saying, no, thank you. You have a choice. God is not in the business of pressing buttons and making people respond like a robot. He's not in the business of automating human life. He has given you a choice, and that choice is in your hands. Will you choose life? Will you believe the author of eternal life? Will you believe in a God who is outside of time, who made the world, who stands the test of time, and his word is eternal, a God that cannot lie? Are you willing to believe God? Or are you willing to trust your own opinions and all the fashion and all the thinking of this world? I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has saved my wretched soul. He can save yours too. Salvation is a beautiful thing. You can be saved from the penalty of sins. Saved. Like a drowning man at sea, you can be saved from drowning. Drowning in the burden and the problem and the penalty of your sin. You can be saved from all of that. And be given new life, a new hope, a new purpose in life, the meaning to life. Now, the Christian life is not a life that is without sadness and sorrow. Many Christians shed tears daily. God doesn't promise you a happy life, but he promises you eternal life. A life of joy, of peace, contentment, satisfaction, true gratification of the soul. Something that you cannot buy at Coles or on eBay. Something that is without price. It's the free gift, for by grace, the free gift is available to you. And so as we close, we'll just close with that great gospel text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whoever you are, wherever you are, how old you are, it does not matter, whosoever believes on him who was there upon that cross for you, whoever believes on him should not perish in the lake of fire, the second death, but have everlasting life. I know that you want to live eternally. Who wouldn't? The choice is yours. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. God will bless your listening and hearing of the Word of God. But it's up to you now. You must act on it. May God bless you. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow very humbly and very quietly in the name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is from above, he who came down, he who laid down his life for us, and he who bore our sin and the judgment that it deserved upon that cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We're so thankful that he alone is able to deal with the great problem that we all face. And Father, we are so thankful that the simplicity of the gospel is this, that whosoever believes has everlasting life. Our prayer is very simple, our Father. We pray that someone who has heard the message this night, who is yet outside of Christ, might indeed believe and receive him and be saved. For we ask it in the worthy and precious name of the Saviour himself, our Lord Jesus Christ.